Hey guys, I'm Lizzie Raven.
And I'm Judy Swartz.
And welcome
to Why We Left.
Slay. What's up, fam?
What's up, everyone?
No, what's up, fam? What's up, fam? Bro, guys.
How's everyone Shims? Doing today?
How y'all? I don't know, bro. We're struggling.
Yeah, right? It's just Lizzie and I today.
Yeah, we forgot.
For the first time in a long time. And it just feels weird. Feels like there should be another person here.
Yeah,
filling the silence with words.
Yeah, but nah.
It's just us.
Just us today. It's crazy. Like, I'm genuinely, I don't want to do this right now. You know what I mean?
I feel it.
I'm really excited about our topic, though, today. It's, like, definitely not something we've covered before.
Right? I'm hella nervous about it. But, you know, I feel like God wants me to say some stuff, so I'm going to do it.
I'm excited to hear.
It's nerve-wracking, but here we are.
Would you like me to tell you how I almost died this morning?
Tell me. Were you in your car?
I was in my car. Driving? Every near-death experience I've ever had is because I was driving.
They've all happened since you started, since you got your license.
You know that road when you come off of Muddy Pond Road?
Yes.
And it's like, it's not the Union Bay Road, it's the one.
Monterey Highway?
Yeah, Monterey. It's not that one, but it's the one that you turn off of that road to go to be on Monterey Highway. You know, it's really curvy.
Yeah.
I was just like ripping it because I was about to be late.
Yeah.
So I was just like driving really fast, which is so.
And it's down a hill.
Yeah.
Like a pretty steep
hill.
It's down a really steep hill.
It's
super curvy.
And also, it's kind of like slanted.
Yes. The road, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I was like roaring and then all of a sudden, and I'm like, okay, when I drive, this is really dangerous, but I zone out.
Yeah.
And
I think everyone does that.
A zone. And then all of a sudden, I like come back and there's like a truck and a trailer. Like, just parked on the road. And I wasn't, like, in my way. Like, my initial thing was to, like, start, like, to swerve away from it.
Right.
And then, like, on the pavement, there was, like, this, like, 3-inch drop.
Oh, no.
And so I, like, kind of went off, and then I was, like, heading.
Oh, no.
I got so scared, and then I, like, whipped it back over. And then there was two cars behind the truck and trailer. And I was like almost hit them, and it was
a lot. Oh my goodness.
It was a lot.
Your guardian angel has been working overtime.
Yep, it has.
Since you got your license.
Yeah, but.
Would you like to tell everyone about how you didn't know that when you're turning at a green light?
Okay.
The people who are going straight have the right of way.
It's so crazy that you would mention that because that's so embarrassing for me. I was at the stoplight. To be fair. I didn't know that was a thing.
You didn't. So
but
it
I was
be embarrassing.
Well, I was going to let the semi go first just because I'm a kind person.
Right.
But then he was just sitting there and I was sitting there and I'm like, are you going to go? And also it was late. So I was like, if you're not going to go, I'm going to go. So then I start. And then the second I take off, he just starts going. It's like, just do what you need to do. And like,
and then let me do what I need to do.
And then the second I started turning, he starts going and then just honking his horn at me.
So scary. Well, okay, when semis honk at you, they have such these big, loud horns.
Yeah.
And it makes me so anxious.
The most terrifying thing. Maybe not the most terrifying thing.
I think it's happened to me, like, once, actually. It's not, like, a regular thing that semis honk at me. But, you know, I still feel a little jump in my heartbeat when I think about getting honked at.
And it felt like time stopped for a second.
Yes.
So I was just, like, sitting there, and the semi was, like, coming straight towards me. And, like, I was like, okay, so please don't hit me. Please don't hit me. And it was crazy.
But what a harrowing tale.
Yeah. Well, then it's fine because I'm alive. Yeah, so there was that. I've almost died multiple times, but it's okay.
It happens. I mean, if you think about it, driving is dangerous, and everyone's just taking their life in their hands every day.
That's
getting
why
out on these streets.
I can't even drive into Cookeville. No, that won't do for me. Driving makes me so anxious.
It is what it is. I mean, I feel like driving, it's a big responsibility, so it should scare people a little bit. Because, like, maybe you'll be a little more careful.
But maybe it shouldn't give them crippling anxiety.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like if I have to the point where you can't drive.
Like, if I know, like, a couple hours before that I have to drive later, I'm just going to be, like, anxious.
That does not sound
fun. Freaking out. Yeah, it's bad.
But not a fun way to live. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm going to get through it, probably.
Yeah, you will.
Amen.
You're strong and smart. And
yeah.
You got this.
Period.
Everybody pray for Lizzie.
Pray for
she
me.
She can drive.
That's crazy. Anyway, so today the topic is Drum roll.
I mean, I don't know if I have like a title for it, but I want to talk about like
I'll stop with the drum roll.
I loved it.
Okay.
I loved it. I think we should do it every episode. I felt like God's been telling me to have a conversation about parents and like parent-child relationships and just like kind of share some of my experiences, because I've heard a lot of people talking about things from a parent's perspective, which is cool. I want to hear that. But also, I want to talk about the child's experience with their parents and, like, my experience with my parents and some stuff that we went through. Children deserve to be heard just as much as their parents. And obviously, I'm not a parent, so I can't speak from a parent's perspective. But I am a child who has parents, so I can speak from that perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lizzie can, too.
Well, yep. I can. I have been a child, you know, with parents.
Haven't we all?
Have we? It's so crazy. That's just like a universal thing.
Right? Crazy that everyone has parents.
Yeah.
I suppose not everyone knows their parents.
But everyone has.
Everyone has them.
Some of them are not fit to be called a parent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I absolutely believe that.
Okay. What's do you have?
I'm not sure exactly where to start, but
just hit us.
I don't know. I guess kind of my goal with this is I want to highlight some of the pain that children experience from their parents that deserves to be heard and felt and talked about and validated. I've heard people say so often, Lizzie, I know so many people have said this to you, but like, they'll say, but they're your parents, when you're talking about your parents and something they did that hurt you, or how maybe you don't really talk to your parents anymore because you just can't. Anyway, and people are like, oh, but they're your parents. And there's this insinuation that the responsibility to have a good relationship with your parents
falls on you,
the child. And that's just not right. A relationship goes two ways. You as a parent, like, they chose to give birth to this child. Yeah. They chose to have this child. And so I think you can also choose to have a relationship with that child.
Yeah. You are 1,000% not responsible for your parents' feelings. Like, you can't.
Yeah. That's another great thing we should sit here and talk about for a little bit.
Yeah.
I've experienced this in my relationship with my parents, and I see it so much with other parent-child relationships. That parents make their children responsible for their feelings. Like, I'm having a bad day. I'm upset. I'm angry. I'm sad. Whatever it is. And it's your job to make me feel happy again. And that is putting a child in the parent's role. Like, you're making your child take care of you. That's what you as a parent is supposed to do. Yeah. So you're supposed to take care of your child. And yet you're trying to make your child take care of you. It's not right, and it's not healthy, and it will damage your child. Right. Speaking from personal experience, I still experience this. Like, the other day, my little sister messaged me and was like, "Hey, mom's having a really bad day. Can you call her?" And I immediately just this feeling welled up inside me of like, "Oh my goodness, I have to call her right now." And try to make her feel better and stuff. And then I took a step back and I was like, wait a second, like, that's not my job.
It's not.
If I call her, it's going to be because I want to, because I want to talk to her.
Yes.
Not because she needs me to feel better.
Yeah.
Have you had any experiences down those lines that you want to talk about?
Well, I think, for me, it's like they make me feel responsible for shame they feel. You know what I mean by that? Yeah. Like, they're saying, so essentially, if you don't dress like this and act like this, and people see you, that's going to bring shame on us, which is going to make us sad. And I think that's another thing that is just like, it's not my place to uphold your reputation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not. Like, we are all our own person. You're responsible for you.
Right.
And then if you have a child, you're responsible for that child. But then once that child is an adult, you're not responsible for that anymore.
Right.
You care about them. Obviously, you love them so much, but it's not your responsibility to dictate their life.
Right.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not responsible for any shame that you feel.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not. Maybe if I had killed someone or done something astonishing, then, I can feel bad that I brought shame on my parents, right?
Right.
But if all I'm doing is dressing a little differently, piercing my ears, you know?
Right.
Stuff like that, that's not something that you should make me feel guilty for. Just because I chose a different lifestyle than you. So that's, I think that's like a big thing with a lot of parents is like, or especially a lot of my friends' parents, it's like a whole shame thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I can feel bad. I can empathize for the parents in that situation because, you know, communities and churches can be really mean and really judgmental, and they can make you feel ashamed for something. Like, and that's not right. That's not okay. But what's also not okay is for you to put that on your children and be like, you have brought shame upon me and upon my family. You can choose to rise above. You can choose to stand up to people on your child's behalf.
Yeah. Well, and I think that if this is my opinion, if your church is making you feel guilty
or ashamed
of what your grown child is doing, they're putting that on you.
Right.
That's not a church you should be at in the first place. I think.
You got yourself a point there.
So, like, maybe that's, like, a you problem, really?
Right. Like, maybe if your church is making you feel that bad.
That's you your sign, too.
So you don't have to feel bad anymore. So I have some, switching gears a little bit, I have some verses here from the Bible that talk about a parent and what a parent is supposed to be. And, you know, in all these verses it says father, but, you know, in the Bible, like, yeah, they're talking about parents, like, not just fathers. But anyways, so the first one. This is a good one. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged.
One of my favorite verses.
Colossians 3:21. I think that's pretty clear.
So don't aggravate.
You don't gotta go around riling up your children.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, and then here's a verse in Psalms 103:13. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. So in this verse, it's comparing God to like an earthly father, and it says God is tender and compassionate like an earthly father. So that clearly implies that our fathers are supposed to be tender and compassionate towards us. Let's see, what else do I got? 2 Corinthians 12:14. Now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have. I want you. After all, children don't provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. So again, that's pretty clear. Like, you as a parent, you are supposed to provide for your child. And have you ever had this happen to you where your parents are like, well, I feed you and I clothe you. And
thank you. I was hoping that's what you're going to say. Like, yes.
That's just the bare minimum.
Yeah.
That's just something that you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
You chose to bring me into this world. And now it's your responsibility to make sure that I'm fed and clothed and provided for.
And we don't need to be holding that over our kid's head.
Right.
As long as you live under this roof. Which, okay, I kind of get that because it's like, and I don't have a problem with respecting my parents when I'm under their roof.
Yeah, that's what I feel too.
I'm saying it's just like the almost same. Like, they're saying, I literally feed you every single day as if it's not their responsibility.
Right.
And it's like, no, that when you decided to have me, that's what that implies. Like,
right, that's what you agreed to.
As a child, you should never have to hear that, I don't think.
And they make it sound like you owe them something.
Yes.
Because you're providing for them.
Exactly.
Or, like, parents can make kids feel like that. And you don't owe your parents anything, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if they're really good parents.
Even then, if they're good parents, they're literally just doing what God told them to do.
Okay, technically you don't owe them anything. But I'm saying, like, if I were to have... Okay, no, that was so mean. But I'm saying, like, if I had parents that just supported me through every single thing and just, like, was there for me and, like, just kind, I would want to give them everything
Right?
Like, I would want to give them everything I can. So,
I mean, even now, that's how I feel about my parents. I want them to have the world.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not like we've ever had a really good, close relationship. But I still love them so much.
Yeah.
And I would do anything for them. What you got going there? Group chat going off?
No, it's Tina.
Tina's sending you some videos.
I don't know what's happening.
That's like 30 messages. Dang.
Sorry. I got distracted. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I mean, I think we're kind of wrapping up here. Like, we started off talking about how parents are supposed to provide for their children. Yeah. So you can't be holding that up in their face. Like, oh, I provide for you.
Yeah. Oh, I feed you every day. This doesn't need to be in here. But, like, I worked for them.
Yes.
I literally worked and gave them all of my money, so I'm going to need you to know.
More like they took all your money.
Yeah.
How many years were you working?
Well, from 15.
My goodness. You were working for like 2 years, and your parents took every single penny.
Yeah, unless I snuck some out, but then they found out about that, and then they wouldn't get mad.
See, that's just kind of horrifying to me on so many levels. Parents doing that is just not okay.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I don't owe you that money.
Right.
I don't, just because you're feeding me, just because you are, like, giving me a place to live, I don't owe you that.
You know?
Period.
Yeah, I got you. And then kind of down those same lines, there's a verse in Matthew 7:9. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Oh, so you're supposed to provide good gifts for your children.
That's
you know?
Beautiful.
Fish and stones.
No fish and stones for
me. No, sorry. Bread and fish.
I'm just going to be feeding my kids
bread
fish and stones.
Bread and not stones. Yeah. Well, let's see. I've got a verse here in 1 Thessalonians 2:11. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. So yeah, we treated you as a father treats his own children, encouraged you.
Encouraged.
You're supposed to be an encouraging, uplifting presence for your children that urges them closer to God, you know?
I will say, there's a lot of the stuff that, I mean, I don't know, but like, I will say that until like last year, my dad was the most encouraging man.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I want to say something so loud and clear right now. I love my dad so much. It hurts me. Like, mm-hmm. You know this.
I know.
I adore that man with my entire heart. So anyway, but I'm saying like my dad was a very encouraging person. So I'm so thankful for that. He was encouraging.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much anymore, but yeah.
There was a time when he was.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I remember, awesome. Like, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a rabbit trail here, but I remember, like, I would come home from work, have a really bad day. And, like, my dad is not big on, like, physical.
Yeah.
Like, what's that word I'm looking for? Physical touch, whatever.
Affection.
Physical affection, yeah. He's not big on that. But, I would come home from work and just be, like, sobbing because everything went wrong. And he would just, like, he had the most calming presence. And just, yeah. like, are you okay? Like, what do you need? Like, how are you doing? Right. Whatever. And then he would give me a hug, which, like, to me was the biggest thing in the world because he never gave hugs. So, anyway, yeah. I love that.
That is really cool. I feel like now it almost makes it that much worse that you don't have that encouragement
yes.
and that love because you know what it was like to have it.
Yeah.
Like, he took it away.
I think that there's a lot of encouragement for him to take it away.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think that him doing that was, like, a voluntary, like, I don't think that's what he wanted necessarily.
Yeah, but he still did it.
He could have taken a different path, but if you have the whole family telling you to do one thing, you're going to do it. Probably, unless you have a backbone. I didn't mean that, but it's funny. I don't know.
It is funny.
So, amen. I don't know why I said all that, but I just wanted to clarify because I feel like people think that I just talk about my parents and say really mean things about them. Like, I want you to know that I genuinely love them so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I would do anything except for go back to that community. Right. That's not happening. Okay, continue.
I've kind of reached the end of my list of verses, but okay. I feel like they paint a picture of a father who is tender and compassionate and loving, does not aggravate his children.
Don't aggravate your kids, people.
And who
Come
provides.
On. Yeah.
So I think that's what a biblical parent looks like.
Yeah, and exactly.
No, I don't know if I should say this because this feels like kind of extreme. But okay, to me, if you're not going to do all that, if you're not going to have all of those qualities that I just talked about and those tender and compassionate feelings towards your children, if you're not going to love your children unconditionally, you don't deserve to be called a mother or a father. Like, you're not.
That's not too much. I think that's a perfect thing to say.
Right?
Like,
yeah. The Bible says, like, this is what a father is. So if you can't be that and do all these things, you're not a father.
And something
you're
else.
You're just like a sperm donor.
Exactly. Like, I do believe that people fall, and, like, I'm not saying, you're going to fall from that from time to time. You're not going to always be that parent.
Absolutely.
But, like, if that's not your, like, if that's not your initial, like, if that's not what you try your best to practice.
Right.
Yeah, you don't deserve to call yourself a dad. I don't
right.
believe that. Or a mom. Or whatever you are. So, yeah, I love that you said that.
I mean, that's just how I feel. And maybe it's a little extreme, but that's how I think.
I don't think it's extreme. I don't.
I'm open. I'm very open to people disagreeing with me. I would love to hear what other people think.
Yep.
And how they feel about that.
We're very open-minded people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think I am. I like to try to be.
It would probably sting a little if somebody disagreed with me. But I'll be fine with it at the end of the day.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. maybe there's an initial little sting. Yeah. But then once you kind of see their perspective and see their point, it's like, okay.
I was like, yeah. I get why you feel like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, makes total sense. I might even change my mind, you know?
Like, let me go think about this.
I might agree with you eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like we got off track a little bit.
We did. It's okay.
Where do we go from here? Yeah, I'm really done with seeing my friend. It's sad, but a lot of my friends have very abusive moms or dads, or sometimes both. More often, it seems to be the dad. A lot of my friends have abusive dads. Maybe I should say sperm donors.
Yeah, that'll do.
Anyway, and they have so many people coming up to them. And, you know, some of these people are probably very well-meaning and think that they're giving such, like, words of wisdom. They're like, but he's your dad. He's your dad, and so you just need to do whatever you can to, like, have a relationship with him.
Immediately.
And, like, it's not his fault that he is the way he is, and he loves you in his own way. And I'm sure he tries his best, and he's just doing what he knows. And it's that, I'm sorry, that's not what you tell somebody who has an abusive father.
Yeah, I agree.
Sperm donor,
period.
It's...
And I also think that... when you say abusive dad, okay, I think that it doesn't even have to be, like, physical or emotional abuse, if you're not, or what the standards for what we would say that is, right?
Yeah.
But I'm, like, if, even if your dad is not, like, your parents are not encouraging you and, like, being there for you, you're also not considered a father. You're a sperm donor then as well. Check mark. Question mark. I don't know what I'm saying, but okay. I don't know, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do want to be gracious towards parents.
Yeah.
Being a parent, in my opinion, is, to me, it looks like the hardest thing in the world to do.
The most important job you could ever have. Like,
exactly.
You're raising a child that God gave to you. But I think what I'm trying to say is, like, the first couple years of anyone's life is the most vital years. Like, that's
their most formative years.
That shapes who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. So if you are not, like you said earlier, if you're not meeting the biblical standards of what a father should be, you're setting that child up for failure.
Yeah.
And
you're setting that child up for a lot of hurt and a lot of heartbreak.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that even if it's not technically, and I'm doing air quotes, even if it's not technically abuse, you're just not meeting those standards, you're still not. I don't think. But I do want to say, like, it's like you said, I want to give grace to parents because it's their first time living too, you know?
Yeah.
It's absolutely not like they know everything. They don't.
Yep. Yeah.
Did any of that make
sense? I'm completely okay with parents making mistakes and my parents making mistakes. Like, I get that. That is fine. You are a human. It happens.
Yeah.
But let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And maybe you need to apologize for something. You know, maybe I need to apologize for stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, let's do that. Let's not just pretend that we're perfect and we're doing everything perfectly. And even if we aren't, we're the parent, so we're always right.
Yeah, so you can't disagree with me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gives me the ick.
Yeah. And I think it's really important for children to have a voice, you know? Because with my parents, it was never okay to express any kind of opinion. And sometimes, even, not sometimes, it was not just sometimes, but we weren't allowed to express opinions or feelings or even have feelings. Like, our relationship was centered around them and what they were feeling. And there was no room for me to feel anything or say anything.
Oh my goodness, that's such a good thing you said.
And that's not okay. That's not God.
Yeah, like, what that's going to do is, like, it's literally teaching your kids to not speak up for themselves.
Yeah.
You're taught to just accept anything that anyone says, and you're supposed to just take it. And you're not allowed to express.
Like, the adult is always right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is just not.
And even now, if somebody, like, I was raised like that. But even now, if, like, a person, it's getting better. Like, I'm growing. But, like, if a person that's older than me, like, even Judy. If Judy texts me and says, like, hey, we need to talk, the panic that runs through my body. Because I know immediately in my head I'm just going to agree with her, whatever she says, and be like, yeah.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I will never text you that again.
Yeah, no, don't.
I didn't think I did.
You don't do it often. You only did it once.
But that was.
But I lost it. Yeah, like if somebody older than me expresses an opinion that I don't agree with, there's a lot of times I just let it go. Yeah. Especially even if it's something that I like strongly disagree with, I'm just gonna let it go
because
like, I wasn't taught to use my voice.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wasn't taught that I was allowed to or that it was okay to.
And it's also been one of the reasons why. This is gonna sound so dumb, but like I get like maybe not as much anymore, but I used to get taken advantage of all the time. Not sexually, but I mean like in general.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sexually, I mean, but like the
that's a whole different thing.
Yeah. So I'm saying like it allows it sets your child up for literal like hurt because they're just gonna have people and that are it taking doesn't advantage.
It equips them to live in the world.
Exactly. Live in the real world.
It doesn't equip them to
exactly.
Be an adult and have good relationships with other people.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
Yeah. It's something I've been really growing in just this year, like since the beginning of the year, is learning to stand up for myself. And like when somebody treats me like shit, I'm allowed to go tell them that they treated me like shit.
Yeah.
And I'm allowed to hold them accountable for that. And it's, oh my gosh, this is the scariest thing.
It genuinely
is. It's the scariest thing that I have ever done is like having conversations like that. But it's important because my voice matters.
Yeah, and like, okay, if we're being realistic, you cannot have a genuine relationship with someone if you're too afraid to tell them your feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So again, setting them up for failure, because if you can't have conversations, you feel scared to talk about something with someone that they're doing that's hurting you. What's going to happen is you're going to hold it in and it's going to build up and build up and build up. And then all of a sudden it's going to fall apart.
Oh, yeah.
And then you know what's going to happen? Because you're still not comfortable mm-hmm. to express how you feel. So you're going to just walk away from that person.
Yeah.
And then you know
or
what?
Fight them.
Well, I can't swing for the life of me. But let me tell you, so then you're going to lose a lot of potentially great relationships that you could have had for the rest of your life.
Right.
But you just lose them because you don't know how to have those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. Relationships are supposed to go two ways. Each person in the relationship is supposed to have a voice and is supposed to be heard. That's exactly. How you have a relationship.
Exactly. I'm still not good with that. Like, if one of my friends does something that really, like, gets to me and it's like, why would you do that? I'll hold it in and I won't say anything about it. But then I'll think about it and think about it and think about it until I get, like, mad at that person. And then I need, like, 3 days away from them. They have no idea.
Right. They're like, just living their lives.
They have no idea what they did hurt me. It's not a good way to live. You gotta teach your kids how to use their voice.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
I love that so much. Teach your children to use their voice.
That's beautiful. And even if you're an adult right now mm-hmm. and you were never taught that, like I will be the first to tell you your voice matters.
So much.
It matters. Like literally your opinions matter, you know? So don't hold them in because maybe you have an opinion that could change someone's life, you know?
Right.
So use that voice of yours. God gave you a voice for a reason.
Yep.
Like don't just yap all the time like I do.
Or do. I love listening to people yap.
Yeah, do whatever you want with it. Just, I mean, don't dishonor God, but like do what you want.
Yeah. So, you deserve to be heard.
And we will hear you.
Yeah.
If no one else will, we will.
Yeah.
So
I mean, hit me up. Ask for my phone number. We can
yap all day if you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I love listening to people. I love hearing people.
And you're like the best listener I've ever. Probably.
Why, thank you.
Well, she does.
That is such a good compliment.
No, she judges me sometimes, though.
Yeah, I'm pretty judgmental. I'm not going to lie.
Yes, she is.
That's, you know, that's something I'm not sure I'm ever going to grow out of. But also, like, I'll judge someone, but I'm very open to changing that judgment.
Yeah, no, like, it's not like like bad judgment. It's just like, maybe you could have done that differently, but it's okay that you didn't. It's like a dad that says, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. That's what she does every time. So it's funny.
Sorry, I guess.
It's okay. It's perfect. I love it. So,
okay.
It's just like,
I mean, sometimes people need to be judged.
It's so true. Like, and I don't
know. Okay. I take that back. That's a crazy thing to say.
I shouldn't have said judged. Because I don't think you're a judgmental person, but I think you're very quick to hold someone accountable.
Yeah.
Which I love that. That's actually a great thing. But sometimes I'm not scared to tell you stuff, but I gotta really prepare for it. Because what's about to come out of this girl's mouth? Like, she's gonna say something.
I'm gonna scream at you. Shittiest vocal I've ever gotten is the other night when we were like making apple cobbler and you were telling me about this guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, what have you done?
I know. Well, luckily that is I've shut all communication off. It's off.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, there's no way.
I'm so glad.
So
I was judging a little bit in that moment, but okay. Mostly I was worried.
But that is so fair.
Mostly I was just so worried.
That it's so fair that you would be. And like, I think that I wasn't necessarily gonna, I was just hearing him out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like you weren't in danger.
Yeah.
But you were.
I was just, I felt like he needed to be heard. But then he didn't want to be heard. He just wanted to be there.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, you gotta go. Because I ain't got time for that.
Look at you go, girl.
I would have not gotten back with him.
Round of applause right now.
Thank you. I'm bowing if you.
You're so strong.
Yeah. I've changed a lot.
You have. It's beautiful to behold.
Thank you.
You're just becoming the best version of yourself more every day.
Hopefully.
And I love it.
That's what I'm put here for, to just become better every day. Soon I'm going to be the best.
That's the goal.
Soon I'm going to be the best. And I hate to tell you all that, but be prepared, you know?
I don't know if we are. I don't know if we can be.
That's funny. That was like a whole rabbit trail.
That was such, I think that was like multiple rabbit trails right there.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go from here, but okay. Another thing that I want to say that is a little bit extreme and possibly controversial.
Probably is.
Tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think that love is not love unless it's unconditional. Period. And I don't think that all parents love their children. Like, I don't think my parents love me. I mean, things are changing a little bit, like, in the last year or two. Maybe they do have a little bit of love for me now. But, like, growing up, I don't think they loved me.
Do you have more?
I don't know. I feel like I just hear a lot of people saying stuff like, oh, they're your parents. They're doing the best they know how. And they care about you in their own way. And it's like, okay, but if they cared about me, they would show it. They would listen to me. They would tell me they love me. They would hug me. They would be there for me. They would encourage me and support me instead of just yelling at me, instead of constantly just making me feel like I'm worthless. What else? They would allow me to feel.
Yeah.
And they would be there for me, you know? I feel like if a parent is treating their child like shit, they don't love them, because I would never treat somebody like shit that I love. Even somebody that I don't like, I'm not treating them like shit.
Exactly.
You know? So yeah, that's my hot take.
Okay.
But like I said, I'm open to hearing from other people about that and hearing what they think about that. And I'm open to possibly being wrong about that, you know? Because sometimes I do wonder if that's something that I tell myself, like, my parents don't really love me, because, you know, maybe that's easier to accept than, oh, they do love me, but they just don't know how to show it.
Well,
because then I would have to have, like, more grace for them. I don't know.
And that's hard. It's so hard to have grace for somebody that has hurt you over and over and over.
So yes, but also I feel like I'm going to disagree a little bit.
Okay, I think
it's hard to not give too much grace to your parents, because you, as a child, you love your parents so much, and you desperately want to make them happy, and you desperately want for them to feel proud of you and proud of who you are as a person. And so this is my experience. I gave my parents too much grace, and I made too many excuses for them. And I was like, they don't love me because, like, they don't know how to, because they weren't loved, and, like, stuff like that, which is, like, partially true. Like, you know, to some extent, like, they don't know how to love. But also, God can teach you that if you ask him.
Yeah. Well,
and even if you don't ask him, like, the closer you get to God, the more you're going to love people.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Go ahead.
And in my family, there was some siblings that did get treated differently than other siblings. And they got shown a lot more care. And so to me, that shows that, oh, you are capable of loving some of your children, which means you're capable of loving all of them, and you're just choosing to love certain children and not others.
When I left home, this is a very selfish and terrible thing that I said. And the worst thing is that I think that I kind of still feel this way. And I know it's not the best way to look at it. But I almost thought it would be better if my parents were dead, because then it wouldn't be that they chose not to love me, but they like, but they were taken away from me. It was in my head, it would be like they were taken away from me, and it wasn't their choice to not love me. It just happened, and these things happened. But like the idea that they just, like you said, just chose not to be that parent, like, blows my mind. I don't understand. I've tried to call him like 10 times lately. Every time I try to call him, I call him like 10 times.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. He will not answer my call. I sent him a letter.
Yes, I remember. I read that letter.
It was...
I can't imagine reading that letter as a parent and just not caring.
Yeah, and after that letter, I tried to call him since to see if he got it, whatever. But he will not answer me, won't call me back, nothing. So that does feel like a choice to not love your child.
Oh, yeah, and absolutely.
So I think that what you said is true. I think that if it's not unconditional love, it can't really be love. Because true love, like actual love, is, it's like God's love. And God's love is not conditional.
Right. I mean, like, he accepts us for who we are.
Exactly.
And it's not like he wants to change who we are as a person. He wants us to grow and become better versions of ourselves, you know?
To actually have a relationship with God, you have to grow. But
you will grow. Yeah, exactly. You're in a relationship with God. He's going to be teaching you. You're going to be growing.
So I this is the thing, it's so confusing, because I do agree with you slightly, like, but then there's a little part of me that cannot believe that you have a child, and like you literally birth a child, and then you just don't care about that right. child. I don't believe that. I don't believe that my parents or your parents don't care about you. I do believe they care about you. Right. I think that the way that they love us has been taught for generations after generations after generations. It's been that way. And like, imagine you feel one way, like you feel like you know exactly what you're doing because your parents taught you how to be like this. Like, our parents wanted to be Mennonite. They wanted to be Amish. Right. So they never had to experience what it would be like for their parents to completely disown them. They don't know what that's like. They don't know how much it's hurting us. They think that, I genuinely believe that they think they're doing what is best.
Yeah.
I think that they believe if they, like, ice us out, make us feel like crap about ourselves, that we'll come back and do what they think is right, what they think will get us to heaven. So I believe in some weird, twisted way, that is a form of love itself. Well, not love, I shouldn't say, but a form of care. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Because I genuinely...
I see what you're saying.
I think that their idea of love is just not correct. It's just not...
It's not actually love.
It's not actually love.
But it is a form of caring.
But to them, because that's what they've been taught. And imagine believing that you're this way for 50 years of your life, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden it's a problem. It's never been a problem before, but now it is. They could change. Everybody can change. But I can see where it would be hard for them. So no, I believe in some way that they don't love us, genuinely love us. Or they could not do that. I don't believe. Right. But I do believe there is a form of like care there. Like, they do care.
Like, if we died tomorrow, they would probably feel something.
They would be devastated. My parents would be devastated if I died. I will believe that until the day I die.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I will never, I don't think I'll ever say the word, my parents don't love me, because maybe it's just delusion, but I believe that they do.
Yeah.
I believe they just don't know what love is. So, period. I don't know. I don't know if any of that made sense, because I was just going on and on and on.
Yeah.
But.
I mean, you're just saying what you feel.
So slightly disagree with you, but also mostly agree.
I'm so proud of you. Look at you. Look at you expressing your own opinion.
What? That's crazy.
Look at you go. So I'm so proud.
So
I feel like we're so all over the place today. Yeah. Like, none of this is just a steady train of thought. It's all.
But I believe there's been some good
points. A spiderweb of thought. Yeah.
There's been some good points. And
good points made. I hope so.
So I would like to formally apologize to everyone who's listening to this, because we're not always just this.
We're not always coherent.
Yeah, for some reason today, it's just like all thoughts have left my mind. I'm just floating on a cloud. Am I making too many mouth sounds?
No.
Okay, good.
Not at all. I don't know. I was going to say something earlier and it's left my mind now. But
I'm sorry, did I? Is there anything else?
Yeah, so I don't think all parents necessarily love their children. I think there's some that, like, they care. They don't really love their children.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with you. But I think it's just because they don't know what love is, so they don't know how to feel it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I feel that. But also, like, if you're a Christian,
yeah, you should
have,
know
you it. Have God's love.
Yeah, you should know you. It. If you're genuine, like, if you're on a walk with Christ, mm-hmm. you're gonna know what that love feels like.
Yeah. And like, if you know what love feels like, then you've got a good idea of how to make other people feel loved.
Yeah.
And how to love other people.
Do you know what's so crazy?
Tell me.
So this is, I think that I didn't truly get the meaning of love until a couple of weeks ago. Like, I genuinely don't believe that. I think because I would let people take advantage of me. I would let people treat me like absolute crap. Okay. But it was fine. And that's because I didn't love myself.
Yes.
But recently, a couple weeks ago, I went to this church. I had an amazing experience there. It's going to be my church now, I think. And basically, like, gave my heart to God. And since that day, when I started that relationship with him, and I've just been walking with him, my standards have raised so high. It's like, no, you're not disrespecting me. You're not going to disrespect me. You're not going to, like, objectify me. If you're gonna talk to you, you're gonna be respectful and you're gonna treat me like I'm a person and not just a piece of me, you know?
Yep.
So, period. Like, I genuinely believe, I think that if you are in a relationship with God, your standards on love are gonna raise and you're gonna know what love feels like. So yeah, I don't know. So maybe, like, if you don't know what love is, like, kind of look for that a little bit.
Yeah.
Change it up. Go read your Bible. There's a verse that I love. I forget what. I think it's in, like, Philippians, maybe. Hold on.
Philippians?
Philippians.
Philippians?
Philippians, bro. Okay, hold on. Let me say what it is. Oh, it's Isaiah 49:16. And this is what it says. This is, like, kind of, I don't know if this makes sense, but this, like, shows me. It says, come on, hold on, give me 1 minute. Okay, I know what it says. I don't want to misspeak, so. Let me make sure I got this.
Gotta go find it so you can read it.
What did I say? Isaiah?
Yeah, you said Isaiah.
Isaiah 49:16. So this has been my favorite verse since I was about 10. Mm-hmm. I heard it one time and I was like, that's mine. So this Isaiah 49:16 says, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. That tells me that he loves. Okay, now how many people are in the world?
Like 8 billion.
8 billion people. You don't know if that's the right number, so we'll stop acting.
I totally do.
Don't search it up!
Okay.
I hate when I say something, and then the other person just starts Googling it.
Starts fact-checking it.
No, do not fact-check anything I say.
There's roughly 8 billion people.
Okay.
It's not the exact number, roughly.
So what I'm saying is...
might be 7 billion.
8 billion people in the world. He has you engraved on the palm of his hand. He knows you. He hears you. He's there for you. Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. I shouldn't say blah, blah, blah. I didn't mean blah, blah, blah. I'm saying, like, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know?
Fancy.
Oh, thanks. Worked hard on that one. I've been thinking about saying that for the last 15 minutes.
I love that so much.
But, like, imagine how much he loves you out of 8 billion people, he sees you. And he says, I love her. I'm gonna be there with her. I'm gonna give her everything she prays for. Like, I'm gonna, maybe not everything, but, like, I'm gonna help her fulfill, like, my plan for her. His plan for me. He has a plan for me. You know what I mean? It's insane. And that plan, that is a good plan. It is a good plan. Like, if I listen when he speaks to me, I know that I'm gonna have a good life.
Yeah.
Because he planned it for me and he's perfect. And so, like, it's just incredible how much he loves me. And if he loves me that much, I'm not gonna let somebody else come in and, like, nobody's gonna love me as much as he does. But it's gonna have to be a lot more than just conditional. It's gonna have to be, like, genuine love. And don't settle for love. So basically what I'm saying is, raise your standards, girls.
Yep.
Raise them all the way up to the ceiling.
Yep. Learn how to value yourself.
Value. I gotta stop repeating
value stuff. Value and self-worth.
Yes, queen! Yes! I don't know. So I love myself now.
Good for you, man.
And, like,
that's amazing.
And ever since I have started loving myself, I just have this peace. I'm cool, you know?
Yeah, right. I am who I am. I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
I'm loved by God.
And so even though, like, and the thing is, like, I've struggled with, like, the whole thing with my parents, as everyone knows, because I speak about it every time I can. Yeah. But, like, it's at the end of the day, I'm going to be okay because I have a heavenly father who loves me I can't even say how many times as much as they do. Mm-hmm. So maybe I miss not having those parents in my life, but it doesn't matter because he's gonna carry me through this, and his love will suffice. It will. So calm down. Oh,
I'm having so much fun just sitting here and listening to you. It's warming my heart.
I just have to say, like, I don't know. The words are just coming. I don't know what I'm talking about, but like, so that's why I'm so scattered right now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe some of the stuff I say won't make sense, and I'm going to need to not hear about it. Okay? You're going to keep that to yourself. Man. Did everything I say make sense? But
what a day.
Quite a day, yes.
Man. God is good.
He really is.
God is love.
So at the end of the day, if your parents are not supporting you and loving you and draining you, sometimes it's okay to step away. Sometimes it's okay to say, hey, like, yeah, they are your parents. Mm-hmm. But them being your parents does not give them an excuse to be.
To treat you like you're less than you.
Yeah, to treat you like, exactly, to treat you like less than them. And so, yeah, they are your parents, but it's okay to step away.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, that you don't owe them anything. You don't owe them literally anything. Okay, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Do you get what I'm saying? Everybody. Yes.
Okay. I get it. Like, every single person out there, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you in his image. You have infinite value. And you need to realize that.
Feel it. Let it in your bones. I don't know.
But like, if somebody is treating you like absolute shit and like you are less than a human, whether that's your parent or a friend or, I mean, a spouse, like anybody.
You gotta walk away.
You do not deserve that. Mm-hmm. And you are God's creation. And when they disrespect you and they treat you like they're less, like you're less than human, they're disrespecting God's creation. They're disrespecting God. Right? Like, they're disrespecting what God made. Take that. What God called good.
Exactly. That's beautiful.
And you can't just let them do that.
No, that's disrespectful.
And it's, to some extent, it's enabling them. When you just let people walk all over you and you let people take advantage of you, you're enabling them. Like, they're gonna keep doing that until you say, you know what? Not anymore. I don't deserve to be treated like that. And, you know, oftentimes when people treat other people terribly, it's because they feel terrible about themselves.
100%. Yes.
And they need to realize their value in God's eyes. And they need to realize self-worth and self-love, you know? So, you know, you got to tell them that. Be like, I love you, which is why I'm not going to let you disrespect me anymore. Because every time you do that, it's just making you feel worse about yourself. It's making you hate yourself more. And you deserve to feel good. You deserve to be happy, and you deserve to experience the fullness of God's love.
Can I clap now?
Yeah, let's go. Each other.
Yeah, man.
What? Church.
This has been fun.
It has. It really has.
You have anything other to say?
I feel like there's more to be said. Like, I don't feel like we're done yet.
Good.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Let me check my notes and see what else I realized that I have caused my parents pain.
Yes, me too.
With my decisions for a long time. Like, I took that pain on myself. I felt so bad about it. And it was a weight on me that I have caused them pain and hurt. And I had to realize that is not my responsibility. That's not my burden to bear. And I did not intentionally hurt them.
Yes.
I did not intentionally hurt them, and
I believe that they're allowed to feel hurt. I think that's fine. If you feel hurt about this, period, feel hurt. You know, because that's your decision. Like, you are hurt by this. You're allowed to feel that way. Okay, don't put it on.
They're allowed to feel pain. Yeah, that I left home. Exactly. Like, you know what? I'm sure it is kind of.
And I support that. If you're hurt by my decision to leave, okay. Like, I'm sorry that I caused you that pain. Like, I didn't mean to cause you that pain. But it's not my problem that you are feeling that pain.
Right.
Like, it's...
I didn't intentionally cause this. If me just living my life the way God wants me to causes other people pain, that's not my responsibility because I'm out here doing what God has called me to do.
Yes. Agree.
But, I mean, you can feel some pain.
Yeah, and another thing...
Like, that's part of being human. But don't be all hurt and, like, feeling victimized by my actions.
Okay, so if your way of thinking is like, that person caused me pain, so I'm going to ignore them now. That person hurt me, so I'm done. You can, that is a, first of all, a very toxic thing. Like, just because someone hurts you, even, especially when it was not their intention to hurt you, and now you're just holding on to that for a very long time, that is like the most toxic thing you can do. Don't. That's ridiculous, okay? You're hurt by this. I understand that you're hurt by this. It's okay that you're hurt by this. And I'm sorry for causing that. But at the same time, there comes a time, maybe after the first week, you could let it go. And you could say, hey, I don't love what you're doing. But if this is what you feel, especially after 1 year, we're still doing the same thing. And we're happy. And they can see that we're happy. Mm-hmm. And they're still so hurt by it. That, yeah, that's 100% a choice.
Yeah, like it's, they're not choosing to hold on to that.
So, you know what? You can go take all of that pain that you're putting on me and you're making me feel like crap because you're not talking to me. You can shove it. Shove it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's the most disgusting, toxic thing I have ever seen in my life. So,
well, there you have it.
Just don't, okay? Just don't be like that.
Yeah.
Call me, Dad. You know what I mean? Call me. I'm ready to talk about this. But like, so just like after a year and I still don't feel guilty about being who I am and living this lifestyle, you would think to yourself, maybe she's doing okay. Maybe she's happy. Maybe I can be happy for her and not treat that person like shit just because they didn't do what I wanted them to.
Right.
What is that behavior?
Yeah. Like, your happiness should not depend on another person's actions.
If it is, you need to get your stuff together.
Yeah, because if your happiness depends on another person's actions, you're not going to be very happy.
No, you're not.
People are going to let you down. People are going to disappoint you. Mm-hmm. Like, we're human. We make mistakes. We're not perfect, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Last summer? No, it was like 2 years ago. My parents came to Tennessee for a funeral or whatever. Anyway, but we had this conversation where they told me, they were like, we have decided that, like, you don't have to be Mennonite to be a Christian, which for you and I, it's like, yeah, duh. Like, but for them, like, that was a huge, I don't know what, concession. That was a big deal for them. And so that, you know, It meant something to me, you know, that they were willing to change what they thought. Like, it was real nice of them.
That's amazing.
It was real nice of them. Possibly the nicest thing they've ever done.
I'm so proud of them for that.
Right?
It's amazing.
Right?
Yes.
Same. I was proud of them. But it's just...
Well, I'm glad they came to that conclusion.
Me too. Well, also, you know, it probably made them feel better too.
Yeah. It's like, you're letting go. Like, I'll never have to decide this because I already think this. But if you, after however many years of your child leaving, your child left, she's living there, and you're just thinking to yourself, she's going to hell. That would be stressful.
Or no parent wants their child to go to hell, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Even if you don't love your child, like, you still care about him enough.
You don't wish hell on anybody.
Right?
Nobody. That's going to be like the worst. I love how you mumbled that real quiet. I have hope for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming back to me now. And like I said, I think that, like, them changing their minds about that, I think it also brought them some more peace of mind. Because something that my dad said, like, when I was getting ready to move out, him and I had a conversation. And basically the gist of it is that he believed he was responsible for my salvation.
Yes.
Which, okay, that's not biblical. That's not true. Each person is responsible for their own salvation. No one else is responsible for your salvation. Not your parents. Not your husband. Just you. But that's a lot of responsibility for him to take on. Like, I am responsible for whether you go to heaven or hell. Like, that's a load.
Yeah, imagine being, that would be stressful.
Right.
So much to bear by yourself.
Like, right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's not God's intention for you.
Exactly. You don't need all that. You don't need that burden in your life, you know?
What you're supposed to do as a parent, or this is what I think, at least, you're supposed to prepare them. And yeah, you can't save them. Like, you can't save them. Mm-hmm. But you're supposed to teach them. Teach them about God's love.
Teach them about what a relationship with God is.
Even to show them what a relationship.
Yes. Yes.
If you have a relationship with God, your kids. And another thing, when you have a relationship with God, you're the most at peace that you will ever be. And it's like, mm-hmm. if my parents were at peace all the time, and I knew it was because of God, like, I would want that.
Right?
I would want that so much. And so, yeah, it's just like, yeah, teach them, show them what God's love is. And then when they get older, they're gonna want that. Yeah, so I, period. So, like I said earlier, like, the first couple years of a kid's life, that's, like, their most, you know, vital years. So it matters what you teach them, and it matters if you're teaching them about God and stuff like it. Oh, I'm just going in circles here, but just, that's the only thing you can do for your kids. That's the only thing you can do. You can teach them about God's love, teach them what it means to have a relationship with Him. And then that's it. That's all you got.
And you can pray for them. You can intercede for them. You are not responsible. A parent is not responsible for their child's salvation.
I also believe that a parent should hold their child accountable.
Yeah.
If my dad called me tonight and said, hey, can we talk about the clothes you're wearing and why and what makes you think that that's okay and like whatever, I would 100% have a conversation with him about that. Like, I mean,
hasn't he like called you a couple times?
He has. What,
confronted you about what you're wearing?
Yeah, but it wasn't a conversation. It was him telling me. But I'm saying, holding people accountable is like, you can't force them to do something. Yes. You just gotta hold them accountable for it and say like, hey, like,
this is what the Bible says.
This is what I'm seeing. This, like, it's telling me that you aren't doing what the Bible says. I would 100% have a conversation. I would love to. Mm-hmm. Like, I have all of my notes prepared for that conversation. I would love to have that. Yeah, it's not a conversation. It's like,
yeah,
you're doing this wrong, and if you don't stop, I'm not talking to you. So it's like, I don't know. There's a difference between. Yeah, like I said, I believe you should hold your child accountable for their actions. I think that.
Children can also hold their parents accountable for their actions. Just us as Christians, we're called to hold each other accountable.
Well, and I think what our parents are doing is not holding us accountable. It's just like judging without even having a conversation. Like, they don't know how we feel about it. They don't know what our view is. They just think we're doing it because it's not the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... And also, I want to talk about and just highlight for a second the pain that I have seen, the pain that I have gone through because of my parents, the pain that I have seen other people experience because of their parent. That pain deserves to be seen. And there's so much focus on parents, and children are breaking their parents' hearts. And yeah, like, that's true. That's terrible. Like, I'm sorry that parents have parents go through that. Like, but I want to talk about it from a child's perspective. Like, my dad broke my heart. Just broke it into a million pieces. Children deserve more than that. Children don't deserve to have their hearts broken.
Especially not by their parents.
Over and over again by their parents.
But as a parent, you're supposed to protect your child's heart, not damage it.
Yes, exactly. And I don't expect my parents, I don't expect any parent to be perfect and to do everything perfectly. I just want them to care.
Yeah, love.
Like, I am sitting here begging you to see what you have done, what you are doing to your child. And I'm just begging you to love us.
Yeah, there's no accountability there. None.
All I want is some love.
Just a little bit of love, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, at the end of the day, all this hour and a half of us talking, is what it boils down to is I'm asking my parents to love me, and I'm asking other parents to love their children.
Love us.
Because if you really loved us, you would do whatever it takes to have a relationship with us. And
even
if you're not...
Even if it means that your relationship, that the relationship isn't completely beneficial towards you, but it shouldn't matter.
Yeah. If you as a parent truly love your child, you will stop at nothing to make sure that they know that and to have a relationship with them. And if you're not doing that, to me, that says you don't love your child.
I agree.
And that's why I don't think that my parents love me, because they're not, like, our relationship is where it is because of me. Because of the effort that I have put in. And I'm happy to do it. But it would be so nice if they would acknowledge that, and if they would, in return, put some effort into having a relationship with me, you know?
I'll be your daddy.
Yeah, you will, girl.
But no, I 100% feel that, yeah. It's so sad to...
Yeah, it is. Like, I'm over here talking about my parents not loving me so casually. But if you stop and think about that,
it's one of the more damaging things you can go through.
It is heartbreaking to think about. Like, how did we get here? You know what I mean? And how can we fix it?
I don't think we can.
Oh, yeah, we can. But it's going to take parents humbling themselves.
I'm saying, like, I don't think you and I can.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the only thing that can fix it now is just God. And them.
Right.
Like, that's, like, I've put as much effort in as I can. Mm-hmm. You've put as much effort in as you can. Yeah. It's out of our hands now.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Like, but when I tell you, I pray about our parents so much. Like, because the only thing that I want is, like, one day, maybe, you and I will have our parents. They'll just come to Tennessee at the same time, and we'll just go out for dinner.
Well, that'd be so fun.
And we'll just have, like, a little group hangout.
Let's go.
Like, that's my, like, that's, like, one of my biggest dreams. It's just, like, having my parents and just, like having my dad come, my parents come to Tennessee and just, like, hang out with me.
Right.
And there will be no fighting and there will be no arguing and no judgment. It's just,
right,
just three people existing together.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, that's all I want.
Yep. And just a relationship.
And if there was something that I could do to fix it, I would be doing it.
Dude, you have done so much.
So have you.
You have reached out to your parents over and over and over and over.
Yeah, they're
just stone cold.
Yeah, there comes a time when you just eat. There's nothing else you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And like, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I just want everybody to know, it does not bring us pleasure to talk about this.
Right.
It does not make me happy to talk about what my parents did. It does not give me, like, it doesn't give me a thrill, okay? I hate it so much. Like, every time before I do a podcast, I have so much anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly thinking, what are my parents going to say? Are they going to be judged because of this? So it doesn't bring me joy. But I think it's so important to talk about it. Like, it's just... Right.
Family is so important. That is, like, the foundation the world is built upon. Exactly. Like, not quite, but family is so important, and your family contributes so much to who you are. And I think something that would just help the world out an awful lot and just help the world be a better place is if you can have families that love each other and aren't broken apart.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, one family at a time, hopefully, like, change will start happening and healing will start happening.
Well, it says in the Bible, I think it's that if you leave your family, you will, how's that verse go? Blessings, just blessings upon blessings. If you leave your family to follow God. And, like, I hope to God that is what I'm doing. Like, I hope that that's...
Oh, it is.
And hopefully... And, like, I think that my biggest dream, one of my other biggest dreams, most of my biggest dreams are about reuniting with my family. But if there was a way that I could, like, help them to see... I think that's one of the reasons that I did the podcast. I was just thinking, if they can see where I'm coming from, if they can just listen to me. And with the podcast, if they listen, I don't know if my family listens to it, but if they do, they can sit there and listen to what I have to say. And they might be judging me and they might be rolling their eyes, but it's like, at least you're listening. Maybe you're not hearing, but you're listening, you know? So I just hope that I can, one day we can get through to them and just, like, cause okay, I don't want this to sound like whatever, but my parents deserve my love. They deserve it. Like, who wouldn't want to be loved by me? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding. I don't give a lot of love. You know what I mean?
The most love.
So, you know you're missing out, Dad. Come on now. Anyway.
Yeah. I just... To mend a relationship takes both sides, or maybe honestly just one side would work, but it takes people humbling themselves.
Yes.
And that's hard to do. But damn if it isn't so worth it.
It is. It's
like, I know I'm talking about my parents. They don't love me. That's fine. Like, I've been talking about them for an hour and a half now.
It's okay.
But at the end of the day, like, our relationship is better than it's ever been. It's still not really a relationship.
But it's on the road to recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The response and the reason for that is because I've put effort to loving them and into holding them accountable. And, like, it sucks that I have to be the one to do that. But, like, I love my parents. I will do anything for them, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it's not like we have much of a relationship because, like, a relationship is supposed to go two ways, you know? But it's still, like, for me, it's better than it's ever been. So. But it can definitely get better still.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
But, you know, whatever blows your skirt up, you know?
I've never heard that.
What blows your skirt up? What is that? What's that mean?
It's like whatever floats your boat, pretty much. Yeah. We're asking you to hear us.
Yeah.
But.
That you're our heart.
Yeah. Because this is our heart.
This is our heart.
We don't.
We want everyone to love each other and to get along and just to know how loved they are by God.
Amen, sister.
And, you know, I think in order to forgive your parents for whatever they've done to you, it takes acknowledging what they've done.
Yeah. There's no acknowledging over here, I'll tell you.
Yeah. So, like, that's been my journey, is acknowledging the ways that my parents have hurt me, acknowledging that it happened, grieving the relationship that I never had with them because they just weren't capable of it, grieving that, forgiving them. Although, honestly, that was, like, the first thing I did, you know? Just acknowledging what they've done, forgiving them for it, grieving what you've lost or even what you've never had. I've never had a loving relationship with either of my parents. And that's something most people should experience. And that's something that I had to grieve. And now I'm able to love them more freely because I'm not expecting anything from them in return.
Yeah, because that's not what love is. Love is not expecting. You don't, it's not like, love is not like an exchange. It should be. But when I love someone, I don't say to myself, if they love me, then I'll love them back. No, you love someone. That's why, I mean, because if it was just like a thing where I would have stopped loving my parents a long time ago. But yeah. I don't. Because I don't expect. I know what I want from them and what I would love to happen. But I'm not expecting it. Like, I love them either way.
Yeah.
Sucks that it's this way, but I love them still.
Yeah.
So, period.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but for me, loving my parents is hardly even a choice.
No, like, it's just
something
not.
That I it, you, cannot
you
help.
You love them.
But
yes.
Do.
Exactly.
For most people, like, loving, for most people in my life, loving them is a choice. It's like, I love you because I choose to, and I choose to keep loving you and to keep trying to make you laugh better. With my parents, I just love them. I can't stop.
You know what, Jody? If you would treat me the way my parents do, I would not love you. I wouldn't.
See? Children desperately want their parents' love.
Yeah.
And they desperately want their parents to be happy with them.
It's literally what God intended for every single child. So when you don't have that, yeah, it's a little strange.
It takes something from you.
It really does.
It really does.
Period. I don't know. If I say period one more time, you're going to have to punch me in the face. Come on, no.
Don't act like I won't do it.
Don't do it, though. That's like the biggest thing for me is that you don't. Not my nose. Actually, could you put it in a little bit?
That's what I said.
No, that's not what she said. That won't do for me. Like, I meant just like put it further into my face.
Put your nose further into your face.
Yeah, put my nose further into my face.
I think your nose is pretty good.
It's not that. It's not a great nose.
It's a great nose.
It is.
It's a great nose.
It is.
It's a great nose.
Okay. Like a mid nose.
It's a great nose. Stop right now.
Okay.
It's a great nose.
I have a good nose.
There you go.
Okay. Okay!
Do I hear church bells?
You do hear church bells.
That's so cool.
This little place is freaking me out.
Right? It's so creepy at night.
Yeah. I don't like
this. What are we doing in a church house that's not ours?
Yeah, I'm going to...
We're just here.
Yeah, we're just hanging out.
Like, we're just hanging out in someone else's church house recording a podcast?
Yeah, this is fun.
It's crazy.
I used to come here, though, so...
It's okay. Did we have a forced use who does it?
Well, no, for a while it wasn't.
For a while you came voluntarily.
Yeah. So... Are you done?
I'm kind of done. I feel like I said everything I'm supposed 'Kay. To say. And we can start winding down. Well, I will. Let's close out. I'll pray for the people, you know?
Love you guys.
We love you guys so
much. We kind of.
You don't even know.
It's kind of like whatever, you know? Okay, go ahead.
God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for all the parents out there who are doing it right and who are loving their children.
Yes, God.
And who are raising them to be... to be followers of you, God, and to make the world a better place. God, thank you for those parents. And God, I just pray for every parent out there who has been hurt by their child, by their children. God, I pray that you will be with them. You will take care of them and that you will show them how to forgive and how to keep on loving. And God, I pray for children out there who have been so hurt by their parents. God, show them how much value they have in your eyes, how much worth they have. Show them that they did not deserve it, God, and that none of it was their fault. They did not bring any of it on themselves, God. Mm-hmm. God, just bless them. Bless them beyond measure, God.
And God, I just want to pray for restoration in relationships. You are a God who can restore anything, who can bring good out of anything. And I'm just asking that you will do that, God, in just every parent-child relationship that has been broken, God. I pray that you will mend it and that you will make it even better than it has ever been before, God, because you have the power to do that.
And God, just bless all our listeners and give them a good week. Amen.
Amen.